seen Antonio Brown and John Gruden. Oh, my God.
Welcome to Highly Questionable. I'm Dan Levitar. You just heard my father say, again with Antonio Brown and John Gruden. Yes, again. Izzy, what do you like on the show today?
Again with Antonio Brown and John Gruden.
Dale, papi.
Is John Gruden right to support Antonio Brown?
I love this story and its details so much. I love the visual image of Antonio Brown walking into a Home Depot with a helmet under his arm, going to the paint section to paint his contraband helmet, and then deciding to just use it on his ridiculous mustache instead. Because you never know with Antonio Brown. Let's listen to John Gruden doing the thing he has to do when you've got an expensive receiver who has frostbitten feet and is threatening retirement because he can't use the helmet he wants to use.
I support this guy. You know, I think that's what needs to be said. I don't know what anybody's writing or what anybody thinks, but this foot injury wasn't his fault. You know, this was a total accident. It really wasn't his fault, and it's a serious injury. I know some people are smarting at it, but it's really not a laughing matter. The guy was hurt. He was innocent. He didn't do anything wrong. And the helmet thing is a personal matter to him. You know, he has a strong feeling about what he's worn on his head. And we're supporting him.
I'm not sure where, if at all, Antonio Brown lost you in his off-season of issues, but this is where he kind of loses me here. Because I understand the comfort level of the helmet, right? But unless you have science that tells me otherwise, that tells me that your helmet is still good, then you can't really argue about this. Because in terms of the safety for players, while you can argue the NFL's actual genuine care about players, but they are doing this across the board. And how much more difficult is it for defensive players to play now when they can't lower their heads, when they have to fall gently on a quarterback? All that stuff is about player safety, and it makes the job more difficult for them. So if switching helmets make the job that much more difficult for you, oh well, you have to prove to me that the science says otherwise, because it's not a big enough deal for me to not change that.
Everything he is saying is so, and I will not to attempt to excuse this clown car behavior from him. He's been unprofessional for a little while in a way that can't be defended. But if I were trying to explain the behavior, this is how I would explain it. This guy went from 16 and homeless to 26 years old and best in the league. He went from sixth round pick to being super meticulous with his body and getting contract after contract. And even when he torched the Steelers season, he got his way with more money and he didn't have to go to Buffalo. He went where he wanted to go. All of that is to say, this guy cares about how he does his job in a sport where the margin for error is this, and he's always got the this. If the helmet makes him see better, makes him run routes more crisply, I understand why he would arrive at a point saying, hey, let me do my job. My job is difficult, and I get why he would do that. The rest of the circus, though, is something that John Gruden does not need. He's got enough problems without needing these details out there.
And that's all just fine. He put himself in position to say, I don't need football anymore. Now let's see if he's willing to give it up for that helmet.
Man, I know how Antonio feels. You know, change is very difficult, hard. I've been wearing the same underwear since 1974.
Okay, very good.
I mean, I can see his point.
Okay, I can see it too.
Why is that so difficult?
Is Dak Prescott nuts if he actually turned down $30 million per year?
This is a Mike Lombardi report, and I love that he made the report, and he also reported that he'd be nuts to turn that kind of money down, where he's creating all of his own content, both the news and the opinion to have about the news. This would make Dak Prescott Matt Ryan money, sixth best in the league, and he should be happy with that much money as the ceiling continues to climb, and a mediocre quarterback can get $25 million. Now, I happen to think that he's Andy Dalton in a better offense with a better name and younger. But if he can get $30 million a year, Izzy, I don't think there are a lot of people who would say he shouldn't take that.
This makes it really interesting when you get a peek inside what Jerry Jones is dealing with here, because with Zeke Elliott, you've got a position that nobody values, and he's arguably the best at that position or the most valuable for his team, and everybody's sort of arguing for him. Dak Prescott's saying, yeah, I might be fifth or sixth QB money, but go ahead and try to replace me with somebody else. I'm going to use my leverage. Even if you think I'm this good, I'm trying to get this money here, and I don't even know who Ezekiel Elliott's backup is at the moment, but I know that Jerry Jones is not willing to go into a season with Dak Prescott's backup, so he's just sitting here playing his leverage.
Can we just examine for a moment how stupid the baked into the bread finances of this sport are? When Jerry Jones, whose franchise is worth $5 billion, unlike anywhere else in commerce and capitalism, has to put a ceiling on what he can pay Ezekiel Elliott to do that job. I wish that they had not collectively bargained this stuff so that these guys could go into bidding wars over the players, because what would Daniel Snyder and Jerry Jones pay if they had to and they weren't limited by the rules?
Is Brian Flores in a no-win position with Kenny Stills?
This is a very difficult assignment to have before you have coached your second preseason game as head coach. You've got a largely black team and a largely black coaching staff, and you've got an owner who is giving money to these people, and Brian Flores is stuck between the owner and Kenny Stills, who's telling you, now is side-taking time. If you're doing a Trump fundraiser, then you're not with Kenny Stills, who's kneeling during the anthem still. And what I find fascinating about this, Izzy, is what do you do if you're this coach? You say what Brian Flores said, which is, I wish he'd gone to the owner first, and I still support Kenny Stills. But the problem with that is Kenny Stills wants all this out in the light. If you go to the owner first, it doesn't get out into the light. And Brian Flores is in a position where he has to keep this team that he just inherited, and he's got to please the man above him. It is a really difficult spot for any coach, especially a black one, though.
Almost impossible. And everybody can understand Kenny Stills' position, saying, listen, to Stephen Ross, you can put racial equality above whatever your financial interests are. So therefore, don't give money to somebody who is saying, hey, perhaps racial equality is not even high on my list. And Brian Flores is essentially telling Kenny Stills, hey, do the same thing. Put your financial slash professional interest ahead of what's meaningful to you personally. And so Kenny Stills is saying, I don't really understand this, because racial equality is way more important to me. Social justice is way more important to me than my job. So I want this all out in the open, like Dan said.
Here's another thing that makes this complicated for Brian Flores, beyond the idea that he would look like a black man who's not supporting these black men who are giving their bodies to his cause. This owner is actually giving black people more front office positions than they usually have throughout the NFL. The Dolphins have never had this much African-American representation at the high end of their organization. So I understand why Brian Flores would try to protect the meaningfulness of that, which is real opportunity.
Should we listen to Tom Brady when he tells us not to read into him selling his house in Boston?
Here's what the situation is with Tom Brady. Once we learned of the details of his contract, we realized that we might be headed in a year to Tom Brady free agency. And this house being sold adds smoke to where you might think that fire is. But Izzy, this organization has put its name publicly on Tom Brady gets to end this the way that he wants to end it. They traded Garoppolo in a war with Belichick and choosing Brady's side, and then stamped it right before the Super Bowl by putting their name on Tom Brady gets to be our quarterback for as long as he wants to be. I think this is Brady's call one way or the other, whichever which way this goes.
Whether it was the Garoppolo situation or this one, it could be Tom just sort of flexing in these quiet moments. And yes, like you said, every single time one of these big-time athletes puts their house for sale, there is something there. Just because Tom Brady says, hey, don't read into that, because it's difficult to sell a $40 million house. Yes, of course that's true. But it's also true you're putting yourself in the position to leave there. There's no reason for us not to look into it. Of course we have to.
Of course, he's got two other giant homes within a 90-mile radius, so this is just one of them. Maybe a third of him will play at some other team for a discount, and that'll win a Super Bowl.
You know why he's selling his house? Because he's moving into a nursing home. He's old, man.
Wow, a nursing home. Assisted living.
Hey, take things off of his mind. Let other people take care of him while he's playing.
He's going to win a Super Bowl with a nurse chasing after him with a bedpan.
Is the Serbian coach in a good position to talk trash to Team USA?
Here is the quote. It is a direct quote. Let's let Team USA play their basketball, and we will play ours. And if we meet, may God help them. Oh, my God. How far has American basketball fallen that not only can he talk trash, he's got the best player if the two teams end up playing against each other. I am not rooting for this to happen. I'm not even predicting that it will happen. But I think there is the possibility that the USA gets embarrassed in this tournament, because teams like Serbia know that when they've got Jokic, they've got a better player than anyone who's got a Plumlee.
Is the Serbian coach in good position to talk trash to Team USA? No coach has ever been in better position. position to talk trash to Team USA. Just look at the roster. If you've got Kemba Walker and Jason Tatum staring back at you, you're going to mock that. And you've got Jokic. You've got the he's still getting better. And they're a team that is unified. They have that cohesion. I would absolutely be afraid of Team Serbia. Not really, God help them, but definitely a little shaky.
You know what? I changed my mind based on what Izzy said. I am now predicting that this is going to be an international embarrassment for the American team. This is the weakest squad we've sent over there this century, and the other teams in the world, they're a lot better than they used to be.
Team USA is no worry about the Joker at all. They'll worry about the other guy, Boban.
Boban.
That's the guy you got to worry about.
What kind of answers you got for Boban?
Right. What kind of answer you got for Boban?
You don't
got an answer
nothing.
For Boban.
You don't have any answers.
He would make the Team USA roster.
Coming up next on my Sol's TV show.
This is the biggest upset in baseball in many years because the Orioles rallied to win this game. But in the top of the ninth, this is how Houston. Yeah, there's there. That's there. Right there. That is terrible.
Oh. My Sol's TV show is brought to you by Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Time to play the game that is feeling extra sassy today. Do you question?
Yeah, you give us topics and events and we question.
Wow, he's really giving you some sass.
Do you question the right fielder's effort?
Oh, the effort or the achievement? Because we're going out to Orioles baseball. If you're not familiar with Orioles baseball, they've been 9-1, down 9-1 for the last decade. Here, they're in a closer game and their right fielder, this is the biggest upset in baseball in many years because the Orioles rallied to win this game, but in the top of the ninth, this is how Houston. Yeah, there's there. That's there. Right there. That is terrible. Oh.
It is difficult to rev up the motivation if you're a Baltimore Oriole. Initially, when I saw this clip, I didn't see him mishandling the ball. I thought he was just taking his time down there in the corner, but that's kind of embarrassing, except it's okay because they came back to win, right?
From another angle, though, if you're not watching that player and you're just watching what the ball does, it's like one of those weird things at a putt-putt course where it goes into the windmill and then it shoots out the other way and you don't know how it got there. That is not professional athleticism.
We should use those in baseball, though.
I have seen it going worse for a right fielder.
No, you have not. Is this Canseco?
What?
Canseco. Give me Canseco. Yes.
Man.
Yes. Glory be to God. Here it is. If you don't know how
get
it finishes.
Get under it, Jose.
He did get under it. There it is. Ladies and gentlemen, that is a home run off of the skull of Jose Canseco.
He hit so many home runs.
And one hit him.
Do you question what was better, the pass or the finish?
My father likes this guy, Derek Jones Jr., for the Heat. He can jump out of the building. Let's see what he does here. This is a Miami Pro League game of some sort. Oh. I mean, the defense was a bit suspect on that play.
The pass looked like an accident, like it got stuck somewhere. He went off the glass anyway. But that's the beauty of playing with DJJ. That's what the kids are calling him, by the way. DJJ, you can throw the ball anywhere. He will finish.
Anywhere.
Oh, I can't wait for next season, buddy. I tell you, the Heat, they have their big threes. They have Jimmy Butler. They have Derrick Jones. And they get the other guy, Dion Waiters.
The other guy, Dion Waiters.
Right.
1, 2, 3.
I'm telling you,
look out, league.
For the real stuff now.
The real stuff is coming your way.
1, 2, 3, punch.
Not 5, not 6, not 7, you
that's
know,
right.
Going up 8, 9,
hey,
10.
So many championships.
That's right.
Or is that Eastern Conference seating?
Do you question if Big Baby made a memorable catch?
All right, you know both of these players because you're familiar with their work, Big Baby and Nate Robinson. But if I were to have gone back into the 1950s and thrown these two body types on a court in front of you, you would have been really confused by what you were watching. Let's see what we have here at the end of one of these big three games.
Oh, get him.
No. Oh, no. Oh, no. The celebration is going to wrap up Big Baby Davis and take him to the locker room, too.
Look at this. He caught him. I mean, that is worse than being crossed over. Your defender catches you as the game-winning shot is going through the rim. These two, I feel like they're linked together forever. In fact, I feel like Nate Robinson could play an entire game in a backpack on Big
Baby. I was just going to say, if you put that on the court, both of those guys together, that would average like 25 a game in the NBA if you just put Nate on Big Baby's shoulder and let him play that way.
That is not my favorite big baby moment for the season. This is
the ejection. Was it taking his shirt off? Yes.
Yes. Look at this.
Do you want to see a shirtless big baby?
Take a look at all of this.
Yes. Yes.
Hello to Mr. Knish.
Do you question if this is luck or a skill?
University of North Carolina basketball player. We're going to check in with her. This is on the women's side. What do we have?
Oh, wait a second.
Wow, she's going to do this multiple times?
Okay, this question can go straight to hell.
If this is luck or skill, everybody knows what this is. The thing that makes me mad is people are going to say, oh, she's just showing off. If you could do that, you would record it too.
Hold on a second, though. How do you get so good at this that you do this wearing flip-flop? Eric Dampier played his entire career looking like he was wearing those things. He didn't make shots from out there.
Maybe Ben Simmons should try shooting that way. Surprise everybody in the league.
It would surprise everybody. They wouldn't be expecting it.
Highly questionable. This broadcast from the Clevelander Hotel on beautiful South Beach, Miami. Time to play the game that hopes everyone is celebrating World Elephant Day.
See? Oh, no.
That's me. I'm the elephant. You tell us what to watch on TV tonight. I thought these were the elephants. I'm the elephant. We tell you if we're intrigued.
You're the big Dumbo.
Tonight on ESPN, Red Sox Indians.
The Indians are really good. They beat up the Twins here. And here's Yasiel Puig. He plays for the Indians now. We like to show him running around the bases.
Uh-oh. Oh, that gets away from Prone. Puig.
Uh-oh is exactly how you should react to that right there.
Yeah, there's the old, that's three times in this series. Three things happen. Two of them are bad, and they've all happened bad.
Is he waving goodbye?
He's waving the batting glove.
Half on his left hand.
Yes, there it is, right there. Yes, lots of fun. Much more fun than playing for the Reds. Izzy, how about you? Are you intrigued?
I will just watch him play for nine innings and no one else.
No one else. The Yasiel cam. Bobby, are you intrigued?
Oh, see, I'm very intrigued. I'll tell you one thing. Yasiel, this is total package. You know, he can hit, he can feel, he can catch, he can run, you know. He can fight, too.
He can fight.
That's right.
As well.
So that's it. Right. He can fight too.
5-2 a player.
On Masson 2, Reds and Nationals.
You might be interested in somebody who's playing for the Reds. We just told you about Yasiel Puig. When he went over to Cleveland, this guy came up. He's a 25-year-old rookie. Bobby, what's his name?
Aristides Aquino.
That is correct. And he's hitting home runs at an alarming rate. Really, my father very pleased with himself, surprised even himself there. It doesn't look like there's going to be a lot of power coming from this body. That ballpark, a lot of people hit a lot of home runs in that ballpark. That's the only questionable one there that might not have gone out everywhere, although it's 328 down the line. Then he does this. 7 home runs in 10 games. Again, he's not a phenom. He's 25 years old, but he's got to be enjoying whatever time he's spending in the big leagues these days. Look at that guy. That guy, at the beginning of this run, he had black hair, but then all of a sudden he just frosted. Frosted in shock all of a sudden. Izzy, are you intrigued?
Absolutely. I can smell a Dominican name when I hear one. Aristides Aquino, that's my people right there. He's from my parents' hometown.
How about you, Poppy? Are you intrigued?
Oh, see, I'm very intrigued. You know what is his nickname?
What's that?
El Castigador.
Oh.
You know what that means?
The Punisher.
Punisher.
That's right, the Punisher.
That's it. That's your nickname at the buffet, too, El Castigador. That's right.
I mean, it is, but I didn't think you had to tell everyone on television.
A long setup, totally
the
worth
chocolate
it.
Fountain. I punish it. Punish it with my face.
In Williamsport, the Little League World Series.
Oh, yes. Charming slice of Americana where the kids are introduced and they tell you, I love the Transformers. I love frozen yogurt. What's happening with this kid from Illinois? What's he telling us to give us a connection, a human connection, so that we're rooting for more than just laundry in these games among little people?
Hi, I'm Spike Gall. My dad played for the Green Bay Packers.
Go Bears!
Cool. Go Bears, say his friends. Insults the language of intimacy among males. Izzy, are you intrigued?
I mean, kids say the darndest thing. I'm just waiting for him to insult you here about your Little League days.
Poppy, are you intrigued?
Oh, see, I'm very intrigued. But I tell you one thing, kid. If I were you, you know, just turn around and start beating the crap out of the other kid. You know what I mean? You said my father played for the Green Bay Packers, and everybody behind you or your buddy is saying, Go Bears, that's go right. Bears. That's an insult, buddy. They drew first blood. You know what I mean?
After that, you realize that you had
the right to do it.
Yes, it would have been fine if you had just scratched all their faces.
That's all the time we have for today. Thank you for watching.
We will talk to you tomorrow.
Notice how long my hair is?
I petered out.
I'm surprised you don't want to fight those kids. Because you love Aaron Rodgers so much, you know what I mean?
That's true.
I do want to fight those guys. I want to fight every one of them, one after another. Just one after another. Line them up.